Good afternoon.
Okay.
Apologize for getting started a little late. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Higgins today, who's out of town and will not be attending or calling in. We'd like to begin today's study session, Mesa City Council, for Monday, May 7th, 2012, by reviewing, and the first item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular council meeting agenda. And I know we haven't had a chance to look at this before, so we'll do the best we can to get through it as quickly as we can. All right, page two, items 3A through 3D. Items 3E through 4A. Item 4B through 4F. Items 4G through 4I. Items 5A through 5F. Everyone okay with that? Now, Mr. Brady, as I understand, these are the allocations through the process that we've gone through.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Items 5G through 6A. You wanna go over real quickly item 5K for us, just to give a little...
Sure. Natalie's okay. Here. Give just a brief summary of that.
Mayor and Council, this is an item before you tonight to actually sell the land that that Mesa owns in Pinal County. And this is about 11,400 acres. And just so that the public at home understands where this land is located, I've put this map up on the screen. And basically, Mesa is up here to the north and up in the north. This area right here, the spine, is Highway 87. And the cities of Coolidge is right here. Eloy is generally in this area. And then in between is Pinal County. So our lands are actually in all three
all
of those jurisdictions. Yes, but that is Pinal County. All of it's Pinal County, but those are Coolidge and Eloy.
The land in the middle is in unincorporated areas of Pinal County.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. So we have land that lies within, so lies or lays, that is located. How about that?
It's located within.
Within the city of Coolidge.
Correct.
We have some that is located within the city of Eloy.
Correct.
And we have some that's located between those cities in unincorporated Pinal County.
Right.
Okay.
Now, 11,400 acres is a lot of land, and just for perspective purposes, it actually equates to more than 18 square miles. And if you think about the size of Tempe, it's roughly almost the size of half of the city of Tempe. So it's a very large deal, and this has been a very large deal as we've moved forward with it. So how this will work is... the land proposer would have two feasibility periods up front. So it's about 270 days total, or about 9 months, where they will conduct their due diligence. And the due diligence is both for water rights, because we work within water districts in Pinal County, and so they need to go talk to the irrigation districts and make sure that they understand how that will be applied to their land in the future. And then also what we call a general feasibility period, which is where they will be doing environmental studies and land surveys and things like that. Once they get to the end of that 9 months, if they still want to continue forward, they go through basically a three-phased approach in purchasing the lands. The initial purchase is at $15,000 per acre. It's a little bit over 1,600 acres, and the city would net out, after all expenses, about $23 million. At the same time, we create what's called a master farm lease for all the remaining lands. And this red area up here is the initial lands that we were talking about just now. And so then they would lease the remaining lands. And that is about $4.9 million per year for the first 3.5 years. And it equates to 5% per year for the remaining lands that are valued at an average of $10,000 per acre. If after the initial purchase they want to move forward, they can then go into first option. They have the option to purchase the next set of lands. It's about 3.5 years or sooner. It's at $10,000 per acre for 2,360 acres, and that nets the city about $22.8 million. And then, again, the master lease continues for the remaining lands, which is about 7,500 acres, and that equates to about $4 million per year. Thereafter, and before 5.5 years, they have the ability to purchase the remaining lands, and these are the lands that are now in the gold that we're talking about. And those are at par, what we call it, were 8,909, so that between all three takedowns, they're averaging a price of about $10,000 per acre.
So the price is front-loaded, is what you're saying.
Correct.
They're going to pay more for the initial takedowns, less for the last takedowns, and so it averages out to $10,000, but it is front-loaded.
That's right.
Okay.
So the last takedown nets us about $66 million. And so if all of these purchase options are exercised, plus the master lease agreements, over the 5.5 years, we would be netting out about $135 million for the city of Mesa.
And if at any time they don't go through with the second or third, what happens? Purchase, takedowns?
If they just decide to take the initial purchase, for example, the good news is that we walk away with them having purchased our land for $15,000 an acre, which gives us a good comp, but it also retains the rest of the land. The city has the ownership, but also retains our water farm rights for those lands.
So our position doesn't change.
Correct.
We end up selling the 1,600, give or take, acres, keep the money, and any other funds that they've given us, and it just reverts back to basically where it is today.
That's
we
right.
own it, we have it, we control it.
But they are required to stay in the master lease for up to 3.5 years, which would give us a little bit of time to figure out what we would do from the future on forward.
Okay. All right.
So generally, that's how the deal is structured.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
Natalie, can you explain how we came to the purchase price for this property?
Sure. And you know what I'd like to do, if possible, is go ahead and invite our broker, Nate Nathan, up here to help me with that. We went through a highly competitive process to retain Nate Nathan and Associates as our broker back in 2007. And so, Nate, we all know you because we've worked with you, but could you just introduce yourself to the audience at home and your expertise in Pinal County, and then tell the council about how we got to this land value?
Sure. My name is Nate Nathan. Thank you, Mayor and City Council members, for being here today. I've been in business for 34 years. I formed Nathan & Associates in December of 1980. We concentrate strictly on land sales. We've been fortunate enough valley-wide to be involved in most of the master plan communities: Estrella, Verado, Vistancia, Power Ranch, Mail Ranch and Anthem, Johnson Ranch, Santan Ranch, Los Sendes. And we focus on the large land transactions for 31 years. I was hired in 07 with the strict instructions for the city of Mesa that we are not going to rush to the market. We're not going to sell into a market that was tubing at the time. We're going to maximize values, that there was no true asking price for the whole property. Everyone, especially with the direction of the mayor, who is well-versed in real estate, knew where we were going. We didn't know it was going to be 6 years, but we knew it was going to be bad. And we were fortunate enough to have a couple of sales that were very high comps that since then the market has gone down south. We did not have a bulk asking price. We've monitored land values for 31 years based on comparable sales. In all the master plan communities that I've described, we never did appraisals. You don't do appraisals. Appraisals are like driving down the freeway with a rearview mirror going 60 miles an hour because they look historically. They don't look at future. We all determined, as you watch growth patterns and what has been built out in Maricopa in the Southeast Valley and the new freeway systems that are being designed through Eloy, Florence, and Coolidge, that this property is one of the, if not the largest, fee title, almost contiguous pieces of property left in this part of town. And when you look at the different communities it goes through, the freeways that are being designed, the employment center that Mesa is fortunate enough to have to be an engine that's driving growth right down this corridor, we've been fortunate enough to get a developer who, at the same time as land values, as we all know, are starting to recover, is also in the commodities business. They're in the worldwide shipping business. It's a unique opportunity to take the properties in a sales transaction that you have been described to pay more up front. Worst case scenario, if they go away, that comparable sale is still higher than several of the sales that have occurred in the area. Yet it is still a really fair price for a long-term land position with all the growth potential occurring coming down Pinal County. So we use comps. We've used macro and micro conditions to come up with land values, and we've been fortunate enough to get a very sophisticated buyer that's worked for months to try and come up with an acceptable plan for the city of Mesa.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nate.
You're welcome.
Nate, when was the last time you drove 60 miles an hour on a freeway is what I want to know.
What? I'm sorry?
You said it was like looking at a rearview mirror going 60 miles down a freeway, and I can't remember the last time you ever drove 60 miles
an hour. Well, that was with my kid in the car.
Oh, okay.
That's a good example.
In the front seat, in no booster seat. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Go ahead. Thank you.
Nice story.
I'm here, too.
Paul Gilbert is here if you have any questions.
Let the record reflect that Paul Gilbert is in the room. Okay.
Security.
I guess one thing, Mr. Gilbert, which is the question, is who are these people who are offering to buy this land? So maybe if you could come up and give a short little explanation as to who the party is that we are entertaining this offer, from whom we are entertaining this offer.
Farm Sources International is the proposed buyer of the property. As Nate indicated, they have a unique position in that they are basically a farming entity. They market and sell commodities and have a lot of land under farming, and they sell farm products all over the world. So for them, this made some sense because it's an opportunity to buy property that they can continue to farm and yet look at other opportunities for development down the road.
Any questions for Mr. Gilbert?
No.
Thank you.
And that explains why. I mean, it as Mr. Nathan said it. This is not just a land banker. This is not someone who's speculating on this land. This is really both an end user and also an investor.
Correct.
A very unique proposition.
Right.
That makes this deal work, regardless of the time that they. Well, they have to hold it a certain amount of time, obviously, but they make it work while they own it because they will be the ones that will be farming it, and selling those commodities. And that's part of their business plan, but then also their long-term plan is that when the market is right, they will then dispose of the property.
I think that's a very apt summary, okay. Mayor.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. And thank you, Natalie, for the pretty multicolored map. We did appreciate that. Anything else on that page? Item 6B. Through 7A.
Mayor.
Vice Mayor.
Item 6D, which is a request for council use permit for the University Public Schools. It's a two-year extension or 1 year right now, Scott?
They're seeking a two-year extension.
So it's proceeded as 2 year because I'm reading in the report it was 1 year.
They sought a two-year extension, but P&Z recommended a single year.
Okay, so what's
asking for an additional year.
Yeah.
Okay, so is it before this council for 2 year or 1 year?
It's right now it's for 1 year. Staff is requesting that it be reconsidered for 2 years based on new information that's come.
Why don't you give them the background?
Okay.
Would you please?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, about 2 years ago, UPSI is a partnership with Arizona State University to develop this P-20 education process. And one of the aspects is to build a charter school that will then ultimately, hopefully, funnel students into the ASU program. Because of site's constraints at the existing ASU poly, they found an interim solution, which is this site off of Power Road. They've been operating for 2 years under a council use permit. That 2 years comes to the conclusion, I believe, in June of this year. They're seeking a two-year extension. When they went forward to P&Z, P&Z only recommended a single year At that time, ASU wasn't able to discuss the nature of why they requested a two-year. That has since come to light because the VA has, the Veterans Administration has announced their new location in Gilbert. The concept, the direction is that this charter school will move to the VA location, ASU Pauley, as soon as the VA vacates. The ASU has tendered a termination letter to the VA to be out by the end of this year. They're already out for RFP for design on the charter school to go in to do the tenant improvements. So they're seeking a two-year versus single year.
And the area businesses around there that were concerned about this project, what's your position now?
Today we received a letter from the other business owners in that development that are supportive of the two-year extension with the understanding that this will be the final two-year extension, with the understanding they'll be moving down to ASU Pauley.
And I would agree with that, Mayor. In light of that and the new support from the businesses around it, I'd like this introduced as a two-year extension.
Okay. Right now it's a one-year extension, right? Okay. So that would be an amendment that you would...
Yeah.
So we'll add that amendment.
Right. Yes, Mayor, Councilman, if I may, it's stipulation number three on the list says expired June 30, 2013, so it changed that to 2014, and then take care of it.
Okay, do we need a formal amendment on that, or Ms.?
Mayor and Council, if the Council is comfortable with that, it can just be read in, as John said.
Okay, do we have any problems with that being read in as is, or as presented? Okay, so we'll just read it in on as
amended?
As amended.
Okay.
With the 2014 termination date, or expiration date, I should say. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else on that page? And item 7B.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm requesting that 7B be pulled for now. It's been introduced, but there's an error in it that needs to be corrected, and we can reintroduce this at the next council meeting, still have it adopted before the council goes on break. There should be no impact because this will not apply to the November election anyway. So if council is comfortable with that, we would remove 7B and reintroduce.
So it's basically an administrative change you're making. Okay. Any problems with that? Nope. All right. So 7B is removed from the agenda. Okay. Item 2A, hear presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the fiscal year 12-13 fees and charges.
Ms. Candace.
Yes. Okay, this is a very short presentation, but we do have the departments here. If there are any questions regarding any particular department's recommendation for fees, this did go through the Audit and Finance Committee on March 13, 2012, with a couple changes based on those recommendations. So what I would like to do is go through each one of the departments, give you just a real quick synopsis of what the fee recommendations are, and if you have any questions, we can bring those departments up to answer any questions at that time. For Arts and Cultural, the Arts and Cultural Department is proposing to establish an entry fee for the Mesa Grande Cultural Park and add an additional hour rental fees to the Starlight Theater in the Arizona Museum of Natural History. They're also eliminating some fees that are no longer needed at the Mesa Arts Center. Are there any questions on the Arts Center fees?
Councilman Richens?
The Mesa Grande Cultural Park fees, we had talked at one time about not charging admission during the ramp-up phase for that. Is that still the case?
I would have to have Arts and Culture come up for an effective fee. This is just to get them on the schedule. I don't know when we were putting them in for effective.
Mayor and Council, it really be the council's decision. Is there a specific period of time, Councilor Richens?
No, I mean, it's a new facility. A lot of people aren't going to know where it is. There's, you know, still a lot of parking issues and
so like
other issues that we're trying
open
to
open it up
out
and
there.
For a couple, 60, 90 days. Is that what you're suggesting?
I didn't have a specific adjustment. Oh. A suggestion. At one time, we had talked about 6 months or
let me ask,
a year.
Tom, do you want to come up? Is there a, you have any
for
thoughts
opening
on that?
How much
we
is
have for 7-1.
Anticipated revenue is there for?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Richens, yes, you know, it would be very nice if we could provide this service open to the public without a fee, but as you know, we also have to have recovery of our operating costs. So if we had those subsidized, we'd be happy to do that.
What's the anticipated revenue of the first 6 months?
The revenue that we're showing is the operational year, which is 7.5 months, so it's $40,000. So it would be somewhere in the area of $32,000 or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, we learned through, you know, from the art.
I think your point about make publicity and getting people to come, I think that's great. I think we're going to probably do a campaign. I think a 60 or 90 day period, would that be okay?
Well, what, you know, this is to adopt it, and we don't have to implement it, is I think what you want to say.
Right. I think as we do that, maybe we.
Well, there are fees for it. So.
What's that?
Well, I know, but that's what I say. If we didn't implement it, we would have to cover.
Right.
We would have to make that budget net zero.
There's additional operating expenses,
yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
Correct. And whether now's the time to decide how long it's going to be open or not, or say, do you want to put it out there, and then let's come back and address that and see if we want to make that change
that's
and
fine.
Find
but,
the
yeah,
let's get the fee established, and then we get ready to open.
That way they can
what is the per head? What, $3 or something? Or
$5 for an adult, $2 for a child, and if you come on a tour, it'd be $4 because you're getting a tour.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably fine. I mean, for that amount of revenue, I'd just like to explore some sponsorships and some ways of getting it.
Let's establish the fee.
Yeah.
And then before we open, we'll come back and talk about the opening and a plan maybe that directs it that way.
Let's
do that.
Is that okay?
Okay.
That'll work.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any questions on the engineering? Is that changes in fees or is that new or is that anticipated new?
Engineering is establishing a new fee to recover the cost of providing engineering services to the community facility districts. It's an hourly fee in order to provide their services to those.
And that was a negotiated. Did we negotiate that, or was that something that's just tacked on there?
Actually, community facilities districts are publicly financed, so they're required to comply with the state statutes, the Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 34. And so as part of that, we're asked as the district engineer to step in and oversee and monitor those processes. We're also asked to go in and review and analyze the assessments as they get established on the properties. So what we were advised to do by our district counsel, Scott Ruby, was to include a fee in the fees and charges to do cost recovery only. Which also includes our overhead costs.
Yeah, and I guess negotiate was the wrong word. That those fees were discussed, and those who are putting together the CFD
so
are fully aware. DMB is fully aware that this is. That
I believe this, so, but I'll double check. I'll make sure.
I think I can remember talking just briefly about.
Let's
it.
Let's just follow up and make sure.
Mr. Rigby's out there and Chuck are out there. Yeah.
They're shaking their heads. Yes.
I guess that's what I really meant. This isn't going to be a surprise. This is something we talked about up front.
And this is just cost recovery for those services we have to provide.
Does that cost? And I think that's where it came in that that's what I mean to negotiate. I think we agreed to provide those things at cost. Yeah, I remember having that. I don't know if it was in this meeting or some other meeting. I do remember that coming up. Okay. All right. On the transportation in lieu payments. All the others I think are
pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, but the transportation
in lieu payment. The department is recommending that we do an implementation of a fee for payment in lieu of surface treatments required during the pavement repair process for work conducted by utility and telecommunication companies. And Lenny can tell you what we're doing today and how they want to change that to what we want to do tomorrow.
Good evening, Mayor. Today, right now, MEG specification, Maricopa Association of Government specifications, allow us to charge a fee for a surface seal to be put on a trench patch. Right now, we don't have a mechanism to bring that fee in, so this is a way of cleaning that mess up a little bit.
A trans patch?
Transportation patch.
Well, I know what it is. I just was saying that, you know, that's not a normal part of my lingo. I don't walk around talking about trans patches, you know. Maybe Dave Richens does, but I sort of figured out what it was.
I saw something that helped you quit smoking or something.
Yeah. So we have no mechanism to collect that, and that's basically just to cover that cost on that.
That's correct. The contractor utility company can elect to do their own surface seal on it. But if you can imagine how many little patches you could have out there, now that seal code is now out of our forecast and doesn't line up with our sealing.
So if we have to go in and make those molding together and everything, this is what that covers that.
That's correct.
Okay. Councilman Finter?
If we're done with this portion.
Just had a question on the block party barricades. I don't know if Lenny's finished, but.
Maybe Alan can answer that, but go ahead.
All right. Any other questions on trans patches? Thank you.
Well, I thought it's just a point to celebrate as far as the block party barricades that went through committee. And maybe, if you don't mind, Mayor, we could just, because I didn't recognize this minus 2,000 something signature. Maybe you could.
That's a new one from the fees from the Audit and Finance Committee. The original recommendation was to increase the block party barricades in order to cover our costs, as the city's costs are going up to provide that service. We have been benchmarking that against our cost. And so the original recommendation was to increase that. Due to the recommendation from Audit and Finance Committee, the recommendation was to eliminate the block party barricades in order to entice neighborhoods to use those services more.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, that we get so many benefits and our block parties are down, that it was, I think it was strongly supported by council members all over, all of us, in trying to get that program back up and running. So a happy point there. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions on fees and charges?
Anything else? Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's nice to see where there's very few changes, which means we're settling down. Thank you. Okay, next is to hear a presentation discussed by direction on a summary wrap-up. You're not moving.
I'm not moving.
Of the fiscal year 2012-13 budget.
That's correct, Mayor. Fees and charges was the very last presentation that we had as part of the 12-13 budget presentations and budget preparation. So what we'd like to do today is kind of highlight what we've gone over these last couple of months, and where we're ending up and what our staff recommendation is for the 12-13 fiscal budget. Excuse me. Over this process, the city is focused on four different areas as part of this budget process. The city is focused on public safety. We focus on innovations with impact. You've heard us say that a couple times over the last few months. Staff continues to produce innovative programs and service delivery methods. Many of those were presented to you during the budget presentations, and you didn't actually get to see all of them. We only showcased the larger departments. We also have a lot of technology opportunities that help us to increase our productivity and increase our quality of service that we have to the citizens. We also heard about economic investment in the city's future, and we'll talk about that and highlight that a little bit more tonight. And then we also made an investment within our employees as part of our 12-13 proposed budget. And we'll go over each of those areas. First area I'd like to go over is our public safety employees and our public safety area. We have increases that we recognize, increase in cost due to items outside of our control. Some of those things are the public safety personnel retirement system, as well as workers' compensation. Okay. We have some that are within our control, like employee compensation and additional positions. As part of our public safety focus, we focused on, for the police department, the offender reintegration and enforcement program. They presented that as part of their department presentation. This was their idea of bringing in a 9-member team, freeing up 5 sworn officers by replacing them with civilians, freeing those up and adding, 4, and adding 5 additional sworn officers to make a team of 9 to encompass the offender reintegration and enforcement program. And they highlighted that as part of their presentation. That's included in the 12-13 budget presentation. Also in the fire, we've added 3 battalion safety officers. They offset this with our overtime. They were providing these services, but they were doing it in overtime hours. We've converted those to full-time sworn positions, so that increased their sworn positions by 3. Also increased by 4 civilian positions that they were needing within their department. And those are kind of the highlights of what we did on the personnel side for public safety.
If I could ask one thing, the employee compensation, that's a budgeted amount to be determined based on discussions through the meet and confer process with the various associations.
That's correct, Mayor.
So that's additional compensation that we are including in our budget.
Correct. We have included $1.8 million in employee compensation to be determined by the association.
And that could go for things like, I don't know what it would go for, step or anything that is included in a compensation to be determined by the negotiations or the discussions between the two associations and management.
That's
right?
Correct.
Okay.
On the non-personnel side, we've also invested in other public safety increases or public safety issues. We have an increase in jail costs that come to us from an increase through the county. We've also included 28 police vehicles. These are actually being funded by the jail refund
from the county where they were overcharging us for the past few years, and they were receiving a one-time jail refund. We applied those toward 28 new police vehicles for the police department. We included 70 e-citation units. Both the police department and the court discussed these with you. This helps us in our efficiency of the officers in the field and getting those transcribed and into the system for the court. We also included police uniform allowance, some tech contracts. Fire apparatus is a big one for us this year. This is a pumper truck for the 12-13 fiscal year because we no longer have any additional bond funding. So we'll be purchasing 3 pumper trucks. 2 will be at the remaining bond funds from the 2008 bond election. We needed 1 more pumper truck. We did not have any more bonds, so we're having to pay for that out of general fund. We'll be doing a fire recruit academy. We haven't had one of those for a while. And also piloting the tablets, and the fire department kind of talked to you about those a little bit, using that technology in the field to see if that can work to help them be efficient in the field.
And that one-time is both one-time expenditures, but as you said, many of those one-time expenditures are tied to one-time
revenues as well.
Also. And that's the one main thing that's driving it. I mean, for example, the apparatus, we're paying for it out of general funds, but that's a one-time expenditure. But on the other things, you were talking about where we maybe had the refund. We have other items that have come in, savings that we've encountered that'll be one-time, and we're utilizing those monies to do the academy, the apparatus, and those kind of things, as opposed to committing one-time revenue to ongoing expenses.
Correct.
I know I'm stating the obvious. I just want to make sure that I got it right.
And that's what, and the jail refund is $1.4 million, is what we're receiving from that jail refund. And so we did tag that into a one-time expense that we could do for the police department and invest in those police vehicles for them.
Gotcha.
What's not included in here, is also their some asset forfeiture money that we receive. And we have budgeted for an evidence freezer as part of our capital improvement program for a tune of $715,000 for that, as well as holding facility improvements for $253,000. And those are not included on here because they're asset forfeiture funds rather than the general fund. And what we're showing here is just general fund money.
Once again, one-time funds.
One-time funds.
Okay.
That's correct.
As a recurring theme here, I guess I want to make sure we get
one-time funds for one-time expenses.
Okay.
Innovations. The departments came forward and showed you a lot of different innovations that they are either working on, already implemented. One of those was a self-service library hours. This was a new thing for us in the city and a new thing in the area. We don't know that many libraries who have self-service library hours. So it was a way to really extend those hours to the customers without adding increased costs. We also talked about the iMesa Links program, which is also new to the city. It's happened in a couple different places that we're looking at, and how we can incorporate technology into the community, into a community environment. We talked about the Rec Express program through Parks and Recreation, and that's really partnering with city space available out in the city now to provide additional programming, so not having to build facilities to do programming using space that's already available out in the city and partnering with nonprofits and other areas. We also talked about the energy efficiency program. This is what's allowing us to really reinvest the rebates that we receive through our some energy efficiency grants and the savings that we are experiencing through implementing energy efficiency projects, taking those savings and those rebates and reinvesting those back into additional energy saving projects, to hopefully maintain that as a more ongoing program, looking to try and reinvest those monies. Technology. We saw a lot of technology cross through the department presentations, and one of them being things like the sorting bins at the library, which has actually allowed us to free up staff and increase library hours. So through the use of technology, we're able to increase the hours and the customer service to our patrons. We also have items like project management software that we're going to be using for the engineering department, who allow us to manage more efficiently our CIP, capital improvement program, and keep track of those projects. We also talked about mobile dispatch systems. We talked about the solar bees. Those are very exciting at the water treatment facilities. Okay. And also our ZONAR GPS system on our vehicles helps us to be more efficient in routing our vehicles and knowing where they are for callouts. And then various smartphone applications that we have as well. So there's many different technological opportunities that we have within the city, We're constantly reviewing those and seeing how we can use those to better provide services to our citizens. We also talked about how we're going to invest in the city's future through our HEAT program, our healthcare, education, aerospace technology, and tourism. Okay. So we talked about healthcare, and how we're going to devote some funds to looking at the different sectors of healthcare and how we can get a recruitment strategy to bring those within the city. We also talked about education and how we're going to invest some of our funding in our new economic investment fund.
Which are, once again, one-time funds.
One-time funds, absolutely. One-time funds to do some one-time capital improvements that will entice some education into our downtown as we start to revitalize and look for different sectors that we want to market to. And one of those involving the Benedictine University building and also the Mesa Center for Higher Education are where those funds are being used, one-time funds for one-time improvements. We also talked about aerospace and how we're going to continue to look at marketing and attraction efforts at our airports, both at Falcon Field and out at Gateway. Also tourism, our spring training facilities that we talked about, and how we're going to look at our partnership with the Cubs and how we're going to improve that particular area, not only for the Cubs, but also for some other amenities for the citizens. Okay. Technology, you've had a presentation on Arizona Labs, where they came in and talked about what their goals are over the next few years, what the capital requirements are, what they think they're going to be doing, and the people that they're going to be enticing into that area, the high-level companies, okay, attracting those. And also our accelerator program, which allows people to come together and bring knowledge together to help other people in the system, in the area. Okay. Altogether, these are all made possible because of our economic investment fund. Our economic investment fund is fully contained within the enterprise fund. It is not funded by the general fund. It is funded by the enterprise fund. The main reason why we have these funds available is due to the restructuring and the refinancing of the debt we did within the enterprise fund. That allowed us to free up some of these funds not only to not increase our utility rates to our citizens, but also to increase these funds to reinvest back into the city. And here again, we just have a itemized list.
And I know we understand that lingo, but what we're saying is that these monies that were one time were taken out of what are our enterprises, our non-public safety, non-library, those kind of things. Those were those savings were realized, this one-time savings. So they were basically kept in the enterprise funds. And so they're not diminishing from any general fund programs. They're not they're being used to reinvest so that hopefully long term we can have growth and create a situation or an environment for long term growth. Is that accurate way of saying
that? Yeah, and Mayor, Council, one of the things we actually did, this economic investment fund is actually providing relief to the general fund, because last year when we established the Arizona Labs, to fund that property management contract, we were paying for that out of the general fund. But with the economic investment fund being made available and recognizing that as an investment to bring and attract tenants to it, we've shifted that cost over into this fund. We thought it fit better here, and expecting that we're going to be having to make some tenant improvements out there in the future. So effectively, there has been a benefit to the positive, the general fund, in a limited way, but that was just one example. And all the rest are new projects, we've talked about them before, we've not funded them, and so here they're being funded out of the enterprise fund.
Okay.
And what we have here is really just a summary of all of those various projects and the investment that we're doing within the city. What we don't have listed here are any revenues that we may receive from these investment projects. So at this time right now, these are just the expenditures.
The rent that'll come from
you'll
universities.
You'll be seeing that when we approve the MOUs with the colleges. Yes.
Right. So once we have contracts in place, then we'll be adding the revenues in here and forecasting those as well.
Okay.
Excuse me. With regards to the rest of the general fund and the other employees, we also have other expenses outside of the public safety, and those involve our Arizona State Retirement System. Arizona State Retirement System, if you recall, had split. It used to be a 50-50% contribution, 50% of the employee and 50% contributed by the employer. That was changed for 11-12. That has been passed to revert that back to the 50-50 contribution split. So we have incorporated that within the 12-13 budget to put that back, to increase the city's contribution back to where it was before. That's what you'll see in the ongoing. That's our ongoing expense. Our one-time expense is the estimate of what we would need to do to reimburse the employees back, which is still under discussion as far as I know. And we're waiting to hear more information on how that is exactly going to work or how it's going to be the final destination for that. But we do know that the 50-50 split has been approved. We're waiting for details on that reimbursement of prior contributions. But we do have that included in our budget, that we do have capacity to address that if needed.
Now, that step pay effective 7-1, that's for non-sworn, that's for non-covered.
That's correct.
Employees that are non-represented.
That's correct.
So that's everybody in the city except for the sworn police officers covered by an association
right.
And the firefighters covered by an association.
That's correct. Okay. The 12-13 recommended budget does recommend a step pay effective on July 1st of 2012 for all employees that are not covered by the current associations.
And those, if they choose to do that, that was in the other one that I asked you about when you
That's
went over
correct.
The public
That's
safety.
That's correct. That's in that $1.8 million number.
It's not like there's no money. It's just that those are going to be subject to the negotiations. Okay?
That's correct. That's correct. We also include some additional positions within the city, areas that we needed some additional positions and backup due to additional workload. For example, we did add a fire inspections over to the development sustainability area to help out in that area. There was also some council discussion on what would we do in the development sustainability area when it comes to reviewing plans on the non-commercial side. And we did address that with putting some temporary labor into the budget at this time. So $50,000 of that has been included in the budget to cover some additional staffing, be it to be determined whether that's at the counter or the different scenarios that were discussed by development sustainability. But we have set aside funds to address that one as well. We also had some community development block grant, CDBG, funding that was decreased by the federal government. And we have moved two positions in housing to general fund. We've also moved four citywide positions, one in economic development, one in neighborhood outreach, and two of our code compliance officers have been moved from CDBG funding to general fund. So they're fully general fund at this time for those ones. That still leaves a couple positions, still leaves four positions in code compliance being covered by CDBG.
These are made possible by improving economy, changes in that combination?
Well, the ongoing, as we've talked about, we've seen a slight increase in sales tax and certainly state urban revenue sharing. And we've tried to maximize as much of what we identified as ongoing as possible, recognizing a lot of what we see in our sales tax numbers are related to at least one very significant project that occurred in the city over the last year. And so we've been very careful to kind of parse out of that sales tax numbers, even though it's increased, those elements that may be extraordinary projects and try not to include them in the
In other words, we're getting back to the one-time versus ongoing.
Yeah, so if you have a first solar and trying to be careful with that. But these are fairly consistent, I think, these ongoing numbers are with what we've shown as far as the expected improvement in the sales tax numbers. And so that's mostly where it's coming from.
And urban revenue sharing as
urban
well.
Urban revenue from the state level. And then we also added some positions in the Mesa Arts Center and location because they have seen some improvements in some of their venues and activities, and to support that we added a handful of positions that they were able to cover with their increased revenues, and that does fall in this ongoing revenue also.
And that's based on a combination of the economy but also a business model that I think is working over there.
Yeah, so we wanted to support that, and so we were able to add some new positions there.
All right.
Some of the other ones that we've added have been some of the larger numbers are, you can see our technology-related areas, and you see a lot of those are the one-time costs. Those are coming in and increasing our infrastructure, making sure we have reliability within our computer systems. As the departments come through and talk to you about all these wonderful technology opportunities that they have, those technology opportunities have to run on a system. They have to be backed up. They have to be ready. They have to stay up and running, and that takes backup, and that takes infrastructure. And that's where that technology related, the bulk of that is due to really just increasing our ability to keep those systems up and running, keep the people here to work on them, and have them available to the citizens. So you see that's a bulk of that. Our park CIP and infrastructure projects, about $500,000 of that is just various infrastructure within the parks that just needs to be done, needs to be fixed. We talked about that a little bit in some previous presentations. It's just really kind of routine maintenance. It's one-time stuff, but it's one-time stuff that has to be done on an ongoing basis because there's so much to be done. So $500,000 of that is dedicated to parks infrastructure. The other $3 million is in our CIP, our capital improvement program, regarding parks projects. And those are the land that we're going to be using as part of the conversion for Riverview. So we do have some of those in the parks projects. They will also show up on the bond, list of bond projects that you'll be looking at. So if there is a successful bond election, or if you choose to go forward with a bond election in the fall, and it includes some of the projects that we have included here, that would assist in the general fund by doing some relief to the general fund and moving over to the bond program.
If we chose to do that, we know the projects we have to do, so we wanted to make sure we budget for them here. But we also, and when we come back to council, if council chooses to pursue a parks bond program, we would suggest actually it would fit better as a capital project. And then if that's approved, then we wouldn't have to spend this money out of the general fund.
But we had to plan for it in both locations.
So
that's really the bulk of those. This is just a preliminary snapshot of what our expenditure budget looks like for the 12-13 fiscal year. When you receive your preliminary budget documents, you'll have some more breakouts by fund and by categories, personal services, capital, that type of a thing. Just wanted to give you an overview of where we sit at this point of what the recommended budget is. General fund at this point sits at $323 million out of our total budget of $1.122 billion. For the preliminary 12-13 budget.
And Mayor, Council, let me just point out, this is all funds. So this is
all
the $1.12 billion. And as you can see, there's a slice up there on the top called contingency. Mm-hmm. So that would be split mostly between two major funds, the general fund and the enterprise fund. So of that $91.3 million, less than half of that would be in the general fund, and the other portion of that would mostly be in the enterprise fund. So it just kind of gives you a sense of the total contingency, but it's split between the majority of that is split between the general fund and the enterprise fund.
Councilmember Kavanaugh?
And just a question, is the contingency fund the same as a fund balance?
Yes.
Yes.
For the general fund?
And
so the 91.3 is a combination of the general fund balance and the enterprise balances.
For 12-13, we estimate that the ending fund balance would be for the general fund a little over about $43 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be about what percent of the
12.5?
About 12.4% for this year. And what happens is that we are, maybe that's a good point, maybe time to talk about it. Since about fiscal year 9, 10, 10, 11, we were making all our adjustments. At that point, the city had, in the general fund, let's just talk about, clear it and talk about the general fund, had a fund balance on its own of over $90 million. And at that time, we came to council with a plan to begin addressing the concerns with the significant concerns of revenues decreasing and the shortfalls we were experiencing. We came up with a plan that had combined both reductions in expenditures as well as planned drawdowns of the fund balance. Council established about that time the policy, the financial policy of maintaining a fund balance between 8 and 10%. So for the last 3 years, we've been drawing that fund balance down, and you can see that, and it's, so 10, 11, we'll say it's about $90 million, I think a little more than that. 11, 12, we dropped it to $68 million. 12, 13, we're now at $43 million. Maintaining our budget as it is, as we're proposing it today, with all the compensation increases, next year, that number will be $28 million. So now we've dropped it down significantly. Now it's a balance. We're trying to hit it just right because we can't really afford to go much further than that. 13, 14, at $28 million, we estimate now we're at the bottom of the 8 to 10% range. We'll be at
8.2%. And what we've really got to figure out is, because we've been drawing it down, we've got to make sure we're not we've taken enough of the recurring expenditures out, so that that's not a that the next year it doesn't go below that. So that's why we look out in the out multiple years. We've had a purposeful drawdown. We've tried to explain that to our rating agencies. I think they've agreed to that. I will tell you, though, this last write-up, they did express that now our fund balance is less than most cities with a AA rating. Now, they know that we're drawing it down, and they just said it's putting pressure on our rating. It didn't say it was a negative. It was just something they had identified. We've maintained to them that we're going to keep it within 8 to 10%, and we've told them next year we do expect to be right at the lower end of that, and I wouldn't suggest we go any further than that, but that's where we're. So you can see we've been working to that goal, and I think it's been a combination of reductions and purposeful drawdowns from that, whatever it was, $92 million fund balance right. We had back in.
So in other words, we used it as a rainy day fund.
Well, we did. I mean, yeah. If you remember, we came to council and we took, you know, $20 million, and that first time we had about a $24 million we drew right out of. Right. So it was a great benefit to the city that it had that at the beginning of this recession, that it had those reserves, if you would kind of cushion the drawdown over these years. Now, we just want to make sure that the economic recovery maintains itself through the next couple of years. And but I think we're close enough in that range that we can make adjustments. But that's where we're at today. And this number you see today reflects the number I gave you for 12-13 is the $43 million for general fund. That's 12.4%. But then if you take it to the next year, because we keep drawing it down, next year we estimate it should be $28 million, and that's where the 8.2% is. Does that help?
Okay.
And then just as a note, this is the new money, if you want to look at it. This is the ongoing operating of the city. What does not include is the carryover appropriations, which we're going through now. Those are the items that were identified this year. Funding was identified this year. The timing was that just they were not completed or we did not receive them by the end of this fiscal year. We will need to move those expenditures will move to next year, and so we'll be moving that budget capacity to next year as well. So you will see our total budget will be greater than the number that I just showed you, but it will be moving of expenses from one year to the next that I already have funding identified.
And sometimes that gets confusing on sheets because it shows a large number of dollars going from our, it kind of falls to the reserve, but then it gets allocated next year because so many contracts and projects will carry over from one year to the next. But we'll try to identify those specifically for council as we do every year.
And in the new system, we do have a way of identifying all of those carryover amounts separate from our regular budget. So it'll be exciting.
And this is a good thing.
Yes.
This is a good thing. This is a very good thing. And so as our upcoming schedule out on June 4th will be the adoption of the tentative budget. That sets our limit. That's the maximum budget that we can adopt for the 12-13 fiscal year. And then we'll come back on June 25th where we'll actually be adopting. You'll see those fees and charges come back on the 25th. You'll also see the utility rates. They'll be introduced on the 4th and then come back on the 25th for approval, as well as the budget adoption and the CIP capital improvement program adoption as well.
Thank
Are there
you
any
much.
Other questions?
Any questions? Thank you. Okay. Acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. I have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second Councilman Glover. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll skip reports. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder that our next study session will be May 10th at 7:30 a.m. this Thursday. And there is a Building Stronger Neighborhoods meeting in District 5. Thursday, May 10th at 6:30 p.m. Be held at the Red Mountain Community Church located at 6101 East Virginia. Also want to recognize the city having received the President's Award of Sustainability from Arizona State University, so even signed by Dr. Crow himself. So we congratulate the staff on their efforts in getting this recognition.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. The items in executive session, can that wait till the 10th, or do we need to do that?
I think because of some things that are going to be coming out this week, you probably ought to at least get some details.
Okay.
Why
don't we leave this open then? We can go up and do the regular meeting, then come back?
It's up to you. It won't take but 5 minutes.
Okay, it won't take but 5 minutes.
That's what you decide. We can go either way.
Well, what would you rather do? Go in there now?
Go in now.
Okay. I have a motion to go into executive session from Councilmember Rich and second from Councilmember Fender. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're moving to executive session. Thank you very much.